You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show, the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. Phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have new callers today. There's the phone number right there, 608-501-0718. Emilio says, have a show. I intend to, Emilio. You're setting the bar high. I'm serious, I was really thinking, like, I shouldn't do it because I'm feeling tired. And for whatever reason, I feel like I need to be like, we got to do something crazy. I'm like, I got to, like, make the desk a standing desk. And it's like, I don't want to, I'm tired. It's like, just push record. You haven't done this in a couple days, you lazy bum. By the way, how crazy is this, huh? Xavier McKinney sitting there on PFF. Dang. Josh Jacobs. Dang, right? Number one running back in football in 2022. Not bad. McKinney, number four last year. Dang, not bad. By the way, I did skip a bunch of calls. I apologize. Sometimes that happens. Whenever there's a big major event, I end up kind of making that the new line. The only reason that I do that is because I don't know what the calls are. And I don't want to play a call and it be like, hey, I think we're going to do this in free agency. And it's like, yeah, dude, like that was several days ago. Joe Pirano, $9.99 Super Chat says, thanks for all your hard work, Ryan. Joe Pack, go. Appreciate that, man. Made it definitely worth my while not being lazy, because that was the intention. I don't know why I'm so tired. It was 2 days ago I got, like, no sleep. I got, like, 4 days of sleep. I think it's just a little bit of a hangover. You know, you get a normal amount, but still over that two-day span, you're a little bit under. Anyways, I've been talking too much. This show isn't about me. Let's get started with Randy from Minnesota. By the way, please let me know if there are any audio issues. I will try to fix it. I did a whole show one day with zero audio, and nobody said anything. I thought the views were down a little bit, which was weird. But other than that, I was like, well, I guess we just plug along.
Hi, Ryan. Randy from Minnesota.
Hey, Randy.
And I'm sure you're going to be swamped with calls on this.
Yeah, dude.
And for what it's worth, my 2 cents or less is, you know, I'm sad Aaron Jones is gone, but I trust Gutz. I trust the process. And, golly, the business of the Green Bay Packers is to win championships, not to give everybody warm fuzzies about who's on the team.
Right.
I know it's cold-hearted, I know it sucks, but that's the way it is.
And look, I really don't have any problem with people being, like, overly gushy, like, oh, man, you know, we got to keep the guy. But when it turns to anger, where it's actually like, Gutz a freaking idiot, it's like, now you're taking it too far, because now you're just incorrect. And now it's become, like, an intellectual thing. And now you're making me argue against Aaron Jones, and I don't want to have to do that, because this should just be a moment where we can acknowledge that it was probably the right thing to do. You don't have to agree with that, but still have the space to both acknowledge that it makes sense, while at the same time being like, damn, that sucks, man. I really like Aaron Jones. He was a great dude. And genuinely, I think we all wish he could have retired here. But that doesn't mean we have to take it to the point where we just completely forego any thought whatsoever, get angry at the organization, start talking about how the organization doesn't treat people right, because you just got to keep everybody that's nice anyways. And, you know, it just gets taken too far, right? It just calm down.
But they also signed the best safety that's out there.
What the heck is wrong with you?
I think they set themselves up for...
Not you, Randy.
They made themselves better today. Yeah, it's tough getting rid of Aaron Jones. What a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
But if Gutz and Coach LaFleur think it's the way to go, I'm all for it. And welcome to the team, man. That's all I got to say. Thanks again for what you do. I hope the fans will give the team the benefit of the doubt, considering what they've done in the past, i.e. drafting Jordan Love. But that's all I've got to say. Thanks a lot. Good night. Bye-bye.
Yeah, nobody knows how stuff's going to go. And that's the other thing. Like, we can sort of casually disagree. I say this about the draft, too, where it's like, oh, man, you should have drafted this guy and not this guy. And it's kind of just us playing a game. Nobody knows. Even the GMs don't know who's going to pan out and who's not. It's just us goofing around. Like, for them, it's serious, but it's us goofing around. We don't need to take it that seriously. But then there is a question of, have they earned trust? And if Gutekunst hasn't earned your trust with what he's been able to do with free agents, then you're just choosing to be unfair. Because I'm sorry, most of the time free agents suck. They just don't pan out. It's not a good thing. And for Gutekunst, there have been unbelievable swings where guys that have never succeeded anywhere come here for very little money and are top of the league. And so, again, he's made mistakes like everybody has. He's made bad signings like everybody has, bad contracts like everybody has. But I don't know that I've seen a better GM operate in terms of having guys come here and exceeding everybody's expectations. And the draft is a separate entity, but as a whole, Gutekunst should have earned at least enough respect where we can go, I don't get it, I wouldn't have done it, but we'll see how it goes. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, this is Andy, no longer stuck in Kansas.
What?
On spring break here.
Oh, okay.
Staying overnight east of Columbus, Ohio, going to go to Pittsburgh tomorrow. Well, end of
why
first day of free agency, so I'm sure you have a ton of calls. Kind of broken up about the Aaron Jones thing. I think we all wanted at least one more year. I think that we could see ourselves going all the way and getting him and the team a whole championship. That would have been amazing.
Pete, the only sad thing about winning a Super Bowl this year is that we just booted Jones and Bakhtiari and then go win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
I think the Xavier McKinney is, you know, getting a top safety at a huge need is an awesome thing. So waiting for the details about that contract.
Boom.
The right Josh there. Jacobs, obviously a number one type running back. I think that sets up our draft for offensive linemen. Still need a safety, I think. That room is still pretty sparse.
Uh-huh.
I still think we need a running back. At first, I thought they were just going to add Jacobs and keep Jones, and I thought maybe running back wasn't going to be needed, or at least not very high at all, but I'm still on the train that they're going to need one. That's good news because of all the teams in the league, the Packers are one of four teams that have five picks in the first 100, plus they actually have a fourth-round pick after the top 100. There's only four teams that have that. The other three teams are Arizona and Washington and Atlanta, and none of those teams are any good. So we've got ourselves quite a bit of draft capital up towards the beginning. I just like that five picks in the top 100, and it's pretty rare this year. So we'll see how that goes, see how they replenish the team. Bye.
Yeah, I got it pulled up here over on Tankathon. The Green Bay Packers have the fifth most value in the draft, which is shocking when you pick 25th, right? You should have roughly the 25th most value. They have the fifth most value because of Gutekunst doing what Gutekunst does. I mean, it's. I understand some people don't like him, right? And look, I will admit that I'm biased. Here, let me prove it to you real quick. Show display name. It's not going to work now. It was just working, and I was like, I don't want it to actually show up right now. Hold on, let me make this go away for just a second. Oh, that's why. I've got the... bring that back. I've got the comment up. Boom. Boom, no comment. Whatever. It says Gootlicker, okay? The thing says Gootlicker. That's my nickname on here. But, again, the drafts... Jordan Love panned out. So his one draft that seemed like a miss was his best draft, and he will never draft a better draft than that, assuming Jordan Love continues to be what he is and plays for a long time. That will always be his best draft. He's had great drafts beyond that. We picked 11 picks last year, maybe the year before that too, I don't remember. We have 11 picks this year. We have massive value every single time. He kills free agency. He kills the draft. He kills in terms of quantity, in terms of value. It's just, it's wild. And yeah, inside of the top 100 right here, that is some pretty awesome, crazy, wonderful value. So very, very excited about that. Live to be legendary says Wagner gone to DC. Wish we got him at linebacker. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big ones. I was thinking about doing some stuff on linebacker tomorrow, but I decided against it, went in a different direction. We've been talking free agents for quite a bit. Plus, Tom Silverstein said he thinks the Packers are, he's kind of stating the Packers are more or less done in free agency. They're going to wait and see if the prices start to come down, but they're kind of content, I guess, with where they're at. So we'll see how that materializes. But I took a day. Eventually, though, we got to get in there and kind of look at the remaining linebackers and see what's left. Too Old for This says, it's so important to simply be grateful for 33 and everything he's done. It doesn't always need to be more than that. Right. Very true. Too Old for This also says, we should call the dance of Goot. It's just, I'm sorry, it's just a start of a sentence that I didn't anticipate. Getting rid of our favorite players, the Goot Scootin'. I like that. Goot Scootin' Boogie. I personally appreciate he is fine with making hard decisions. And did Andy go to Cornell? It's pronounced Colonel, actually. I don't know if you knew that. I think I just corrected myself. Who's next on the call thing here? Nico, what's up?
Wow, what a day. I'm sure you've got a few phone calls after today's free agency deluge.
Anybody else think of training day when he said that? Got a cigarette in his mouth, leaning against the car. What a day. What a day.
It's mixed. I mean, I really thought they were going to keep Jones. I was just hoping they could restructure his contract. I don't understand contracts. I don't act like I do. I was just hoping they could restructure it to where he wasn't a huge cap hit and maybe just, you know, pay him after he leaves the year or two. But I guess a rumor is they're going to let him test the market, and if he gets a lowball offer, he might come back. I don't know. Don't know.
Well, we obviously know that's been resolved, but that's kind of another point of this is, you know, if you're squabbling over $1 million, then there was zero chance you wanted Jones here beyond this year, right? You wanted him back. You offered him money for what you thought he was worth, and the Packers were close. I mean, they were within apparently within $1 million of the high end of his market. But I mean, I think it's a shock to the system that a lot of Packer fans are not even acknowledging. The fact that his value is roughly $6 to $7 million and nobody really wants him beyond 1 year. And the Packers weren't even willing for $1 million, they wouldn't even like extend him so that it's like, okay, we can afford you and then we'll bring you back next year. It's like, we can't do that. Like it's the risk to reward, you know, the actuaries are in there crunching the numbers going, we're not going to come out ahead on this one. So, you know, I mean, the injuries have been piling up. He's getting old, and there just isn't much there. You know, I'm not trying to be insulting to Aaron Jones, but he is just not viewed as a premium asset right now.
All those rules. I will say, I like who we got today. Jacobs is younger. He's only 26. McKinney's 24. This kind of reminds me of the year we got, you know, the Smith brothers and the crappy guard, Billy Turner, or whatever he was. Mm-hmm. But whatever he did great.
He was so good.
And Amos kind of reminds me of that year where that's a big change. And I tell you what, I'm very optimistic. Even if we didn't get Jacobs, I'm very optimistic about the safety. The dude is young. He's good. I think we can make him better. And I've always been, I know safeties seem to like not be important, but you know, we had, when we won the Super Bowl, we had Butler. When we won the other Super Bowl, we had the other number 38, whose name I always forget. If you don't have a good safety, it's kind of like having it's like when you have a good safety, it's like having a boat that don't leak. If you have a crappy safety group of safeties, you're just always springing a leak. No matter how good your defensive line can rush the quarterback and how good your cornerbacks can blanket receivers, just you give up them plays because, like, oh, your safety is out of position or taking a bad angle. Man, I hope that's done. Because I think that might be the key to solidifying our defense. This was day one in free agency, so let's see what happens tomorrow. I guess we still got some people we're trying to keep, like Clark and stuff. So, I tell you, really going to miss Jones. He was probably, with Cobb, one of the people I hated to see go. I didn't mind seeing Jordy Nelson go because I really felt he was kind of, at the end of his career.
That was tough.
And Cobb was too, but Jones, he's just so amazing. So, well, here's to next year. Here's to Go Pack Go. And y'all have a good one.
So, our buddy Jake Shavink has been on this train for a while. I still have not watched Ketan Oladapo. What I did tomorrow, and I'll give you a little bit of a preview, is I said, okay, so I've kind of had some thoughts and reconfigured my thoughts on a few different positions, running back and safety, in terms of what Gutekunst / Halfley seemed to like. And so I kind of just created this little bit of a, parameters for these different guys. And then I went through the college prospects again, and I kind of just ruled a bunch of guys out. Oladapo, again, this is not based on tape. This is just based on, okay, I'm looking for a guy that does X, Y, and Z, right? He's got to be a Halfley guy. He's got to be a Gutekunst guy. Well, we've got our post safety, free safety, whatever guy, right? And even that was, you can tell, highly prioritizing run defense and tackling. So this guy, who's going to be more of a strong safety, granted, you still have to do everything. There's no pure delineation there. But you're looking for a guy that is bigger and is as good at tackling and run defense and all that as the guy that's the free safety, right? But he's kind of specializing in this. So, okay, 6'1", 217. The guy's probably bigger than just about any safety. You know, there's the guy from Miami who's 6'5", but he's not even as heavy. So this is a big safety, right? So then I look at this as I come through. Check this out. 88 PFF grade, 91 run defense, 78 tackling, 84 coverage to boot. And I'm like, well, that's incredible. Like he's got the best run defense of all these guys. Really good tackler, still solid in coverage. But will he pass the Gutekunst test? Well, there he is, 8.23. That is plenty acceptable. So there were three guys I highlighted. I'm not going to go through all of them. I think they all have their merits. They're kind of in order. There's a guy who's more athletic and less on the PFF. And then there's Oladapo, who's more on the PFF run defense stuff and less on the athletic. And then there's a guy that's in the middle on both. But Oladapo definitely sold me. I'm excited to go watch him. And I hope I really like what I see, because I'm not going to be able to buy in if I don't. But just kind of piggybacking on what you're talking about with, getting a guy in here, getting another safety, getting this defense squared away, it just kind of got me thinking about some of the investigation I was doing and coming up with Oladapo. Just to let everybody know, I am officially 75-80% of the way on that train. I'm tempted to not watch him, just because if I don't like it, I'm going to have to get off, and that's going to suck. But what do we got for time? Why don't we take... Let's go to the comments. Nathan says, F. Jones lost all respect after he went purple just to spite us. I mean, it is kind of crazy. I thought both sides would have been flexible. And the fact that it ended up with $1 million difference, and maybe that is flexible. Maybe Jones is like, I want 10, and he was willing to come all the way down to 7, and the Packers are like, he's worth 4. They came all the way up to 6, but they just couldn't get there. I don't know. But it's like $1 million, man. I would have thought he would have taken $1 million, haircut, or we would have given $1 million. And apparently that wasn't the case. And now, granted, when you look at the structure of it, it's a bigger gap than that. I talked about that on the podcast, but still, that did feel petty kind of on both sides, especially when you hear how much, Jones loved the Packers and the Packers love Jones. And it's very weird. I'm not going to say F Jones, but it is weird that, he's willing to go to a rival over $1 million. Too Old for This says, should have tried paying Jones in Trident layers. I don't know what that means. We will take a break. We'll come back and hear more from Nico.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Ryan, this is Nico again. I did kind of want to say about the Jacobs deal. I know some folks aren't glad we kind of spent some money on a running back. And I still think we'll probably get something in third, fourth round. I will say this. We're kind of in a unique situation. And maybe there's other teams like this. You know, I don't follow all the teams. But it's definitely unique for us where right now we don't have to pay an Adams, you know, or a Jimmy Graham. We don't have to pay. All of our receivers are in their first-year deal. All of our – everyone's in their first-year deal pretty much.
Right.
So we have like a two, three, 4 years before we got to start shelling out money for guys like Watson and Dobbs and, you know, the tight ends. This is like this little time we can afford to pay someone who maybe we don't normally want to spend that much money on. Cause he's a day one, you know, a starter, obviously. Now, when in 3 or 4 years we start having to pay all these receivers and tight ends, stuff might change, but then maybe we'll go towards, you know, newer running backs. But I just think we're in a unique situation now where we have some time, we can shell out some money to a guy like Jacobs and not really have to worry so much because right now everyone's on their first deal. That's all I wanted to say. I'm sure you've probably already mentioned it because you're a smart dude. But hey, you have a great one. Go Pecco.
Well, and running back was the other position that I looked at just trying to find guys that we might pick up to kind of be another compliment. And I am leaning more toward we're not going to try to find specifically an Aaron Jones replacement. We're probably more likely to find like a second Josh Jacobs, a bigger back that can kind of handle a full load and is less likely to break down and is more of a tackle breaking type. And so I kind of went through a few of those. Obviously, the guy out of Texas who I talk about on just about every podcast is one of the top guys. If you wanted a Josh Jacobs clone, I feel like he would be probably the number one option. You could maybe say Estime. Actually, Estime might even make more sense just from the standpoint of his RAS wasn't as good, and I don't think Josh Jacobs was either. But, yeah, I mean, we do have to shell out for Jordan, so that's going to start to hit probably by next year. So, I mean, we do have a pretty nice window with specifically our weapons groups, not really costing a lot of money, but that's going to weigh on us a little bit. In fact, there were in that Silverstein article, he was even talking about how, you know, we've got still like $25-ish million dollars floating around. And Nate, what is with all the F-bombs, bro? Sorry, I'm just looking at the transcript for the next call. I'm going to try to mute those if I can. But anyways, he was saying that we may not really spend it. We might be looking more so to carry it into and through the season and have it try to carry over into next year. Nate, take it away.
Hey, Ryan. You remember all that stuff that I said about Aaron Jones and wishing him the best and hoping that he goes on to have nothing but success and I was all happy for him? Well, you, Aaron Jones.
Oh, no, I missed it.
You. I know we let you go, but you could have picked so many other teams, bro. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. Fuck can die in a hole.
Okay.
Not actually die, if that's mean.
Yeah, that's a little far.
Some good years there, so. But I do hope that you have, like, the shittiest fucking season of all time. I hope you go for, like, negative 2,000 yards.
It's straight backwards, yeah.
I just, God. Really? You going the Favre route? You're gonna fuck us over that way because you're pissy because you got let go? I thought you was more of a class act than that. I really did not expect him to go to a rival. Not for sure he would at least have some decency, but yeah, fuck you, Ann Jones.
Okay, well, I got nothing. Nathan here wants to explain the situation, says F-bombs are sentence enhancer. It is an enhancer, that's true, but it's going to cause me to have to try to go back and find those. And the worst part is, I'm going to forget. I'm going to go back and be like, I'll just edit it, because I tried to do the mute thing. I'm not going to be able to hit that. It's so like delayed. And then I got the beep, but the beep just works for my mic. It doesn't work for computer audio. So that would just be like a sound over the sound. Maybe I could have tried it. I don't know. I don't think it works. But I'm going to upload it and just forget about it. And that sucks. So, Nate, control yourself, sir.
What's up? It's Aaron from Eau Claire.
Donald counted 17.
Thinking about all this free agency stuff, and I haven't had this much fun following the Packers for a long time. It's been several years since I've really enjoyed free agency on this level, and I think with Aaron Jones being cut, which I thought was sad, from a loving the guy standpoint. Like, when was the last time you remembered the Packers just completely making the move that everyone thought they should make, like signing the best of a position or whatever? Ever since Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback, they've always been signing like either aging free agents to sort of help out in the margins or kind of mid to low range prospects that are cheap and kind of a high upside, you know, high risk, high reward, or low risk, high reward kind of players. And now it's like they got Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, who are, you know, two of the top free agents, and neither of them are, in my opinion, the kind of overly splashy free agent signings either. They're not like, oh, we need to sign Odell Beckham Jr. because he's got the big name or whatever. They're just solid quality players that, you know, are kind of coming from weak teams that I would guess would be absolutely psyched to join the Packers, who, you know, looks like a freaking torpedo last season in the playoffs. Like, they almost tanked the 49ers playoff hopes, and they completely walloped the Cowboys. And now just imagine, you know, with some upgrade at positions like safety and maybe some new defensive coaching energy and stuff. Gosh, I am excited about this year. It's going to be fun to watch what happens. I'm really eager to see how these new additions help. And obviously the draft is coming up. And, you know, I'm fine with people like Bakhtiari being cut. I know he's been a great Packer, but I'll call back in one second.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like I started off the show looking at Xavier McKinney. It's so crazy to look at. I mean, he is 24 years old. We basically may as well have just drafted him. I mean, it's really incredible to have a guy, just to see this sitting here is wild and crazy to me. I mean, as of right now, debatably, he could be the best player on our defense. Obviously, Jair has this potential. Rashawn has this potential, but I mean, if McKinney stays at this level, he may be our best player. And we just paid him. And not even that much. I mean, give me a freaking break. Like $17 million. Who gives a crap about that? To have that be a top five, top three type of player, potentially, And in this defense, with our defensive coaches that we have, with Ansley and Halfley. And again, remember, this best season was year two in his playing middle of the field style defense, much more similar to what he's been doing here. So just to recap, if you didn't catch the podcast, his first year here, he was playing sort of a two-man, like a cover two, a little bit more what we had with Joe Barry. And then in year two, it got better. Then he had Wink Martindale come in, and he had to be a single high, and he dropped off, right? It was his first year doing it, didn't do very well. What happened in year two? Right here, right? He took that same year two jump, but seems like maybe this is his sweet spot. You know what I mean? This is his deal. And again, with Jacobs, obviously this was a bit of a down year, in a year when it was such a disaster, like the entire locker room fell apart, the coach got fired. I think it was like his second time getting fired mid-season or something. Like, the guy is a disaster. The team was a disaster. This is how good he is. And again, he's 26. I mean, I know for a running back that's a little up in age, but he is a young guy. Like, we reset the clock potentially. I mean, not potentially. We set it back 4 years on Aaron Jones. And then I pulled this up, too. I saw this earlier today when I was just kind of combing through some stuff. It's really cool to see this as well, because you're right. Usually, we grab guys like down here. We would have been the DeAndre Swifts, the, you know, not even like a Kyle Van Noy, maybe. Keyshawn Nixon, obviously. Instead, we drafted two top 10, according to The Athletic, two top 10 free agents that were available. Now, I think this is debatable, honestly. I would have, and I said this on the podcast, so this isn't revisionist history, I would take Josh Jacobs over Saquon Barkley. So I would not have Saquon number two. Danielle number one, fine. Kirk probably should be number one, then Danielle. And also, I would probably take Xavier McKinney over Jonathan Grenard. But anyways, leave that all aside. Again, having two top 10 guys is pretty remarkable. In fact, I don't know if anybody else has that. Cousins is a Falcon, so new. Doesn't look like it, unless I'm missing something. So you're right. I mean, it's just, it's very cool to take some big swings. And the fact of the matter is, they're still cheap swings. I mean, I know, look, 4 for 48 for a running back, whatever, but it's 12 and 17, right? I understand that comparatively to running backs and safeties, it's the high end of the market. But combined, it's like, I mean, what did, where, well, Danielle got 25, but not even Wilkins here. 4 years, $110 million. Wilkins is a good football player. But it's like, would you rather have Wilkins, who's pretty good on the interior, or maybe one of the best safeties in football and maybe the best running back? Like, just, it's not even close, dude. Get out of here. Again, agree to disagree. Comment section. Let's see. Nate says, hey, Nate, how many, or too old for this, says, hey, Nate, how many F-bombs are you going to drop? Smirks, all of them. He goes on to say the team average age right now, 24.8, and we haven't even drafted yet. Is that real? That can't be real. The average age is 24.8? That's crazy. Why is Campbell on there on Over the Cap? Yeah, I mean, stuff's slow. Over the Cap is Campbell on here? Yeah. These guys, that's part of the reason I like to check these is just see what they've actually updated or not. It's why I first went to PFF and it didn't have it, and I was like, oh, you guys are slow, and then I was like, oh yeah, you gotta hit refresh. Let's see. And yeah, that's true too, as far as like the official dates and everything. I don't know when these things are league official, if that has something to do with it, or if it's just they're slow. The average age of the team is still half a decade younger than I am, says Nate. How did Jacob's PFF grade look after McDaniels got fired? That's not a bad question. I don't want to look it up live right now, but that is a pretty good question. Not that I necessarily expect it to immediately improve, but let's just see if there's just like a better second half of the season. Really quickly. Rushing. So, I mean, if you told me it was right here, come on, like right here, I would say that that's an improvement. Like, there's no 80s, 90s, whatever, but I mean, this is better than this. If you were to just compare the grades weeks 1 through 8 compared to 9 through whatever. Plus, this is also where he got hurt, was in the second half. So I don't know, man. I would more or less scrap it and say, hopefully we get that guy back, right? Get some new energy, get some new blood, get some new excitement. It's not like he's old and over the hill or whatever. Not that he couldn't start declining, but give me a break. I mean, this is, we go from number one in the NFL to, what is he here, 50th? Give me a freaking break. Daniel says, if Jacobs can return to his pre-2023 form, it'll be a bargain, no question. Ian says, once Campbell gets his post-June 1 designation, Pack still have $36 million of cap space. All right, that sounds high. Brambo says, hi there. Hey there. How you doing, Brambo? And then too old for this, that's a stat I saw on an NFL account earlier, so I think it's right. That's crazy. Why don't we take our second break? We'll come back and hear the second part of AA Ron's call.
All right, just finishing my thought. Yeah, I know David Bakhtiari has been a good Packer, and he's obviously been an elite player, but I think it makes sense to just kind of move on from, you know, that older era of when we had Rodgers and we were kind of, that experience meant something. Now it's kind of like, well, we didn't get him last year, and look at how far we went, so... I think you could probably either get somebody in the draft who could potentially be a left tackle, or maybe some of the guys we already have are good enough and maybe they're improving enough as young players to be solid and take over that spot, especially with the scheme adjustments we can make, you know, like... I mean, Jordan Love can play pretty well under pressure, and he can get the ball out fast. And I think that's even more than having a great left tackle. That can sometimes be, you know, one of the keys. I remember Aaron Rodgers holding onto the ball way too long, and, you know, you're going, well, the guy's got, you know, all-time level of talent and smarts and abilities, but sometimes he doesn't just make the obvious play. Yeah. And I think having that elite left tackle becomes slightly less essential, I guess, if you're willing to work within the scheme. That could potentially help take some of the edge off of that pass rush. So I'm just kind of... I don't really know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm completely wrong. maybe that left tackle is that important, and they're just confident they can find another one. But anyways, I think what we had last year was good enough to win, and I'm really excited to see how, you know, how it shapes up. So anyways, boom, that's my thoughts. I hope you have a great day, and enjoy this nice spring weather we've been getting. All right.
Yeah, I get your point. I think a good left tackle is always going to be valuable, and a bad left tackle is always going to be a disaster. But you're right about playing within rhythm, right? As far as, you know, we did see, I think Rodgers' average time to throw was always fine because, you know, it was probably a split between getting it out fast and just dancing around too long. And you're right. I mean, we all saw it. There's no doubt. His average time to throw doesn't mean anything because we watched it all happen. How many times do we sit there and stare at the screen? He's open. He's open. Throw it. Throw it. What are you waiting for? Throw it. Do something. What? Come on. You know? So I get what you mean as far as there's less of that. So I think what you're probably talking about is right in that middle range, which is ironically kind of what we have at left tackle right now. He's not David Bakhtiari, but he is maybe good enough. As long as you have a quarterback that generally will get the ball out of his hand pretty quick, plays within rhythm, et cetera, they all get on the same page. A guy like Walker is probably going to serve his purpose pretty well, right? But again, you always want a David Bakhtiari that just, even on plays when they break down or whatever, he can hold them for ungodly amounts of time. And a really bad tackle is always going to be, you can play within rhythm all you want, and that guy's just getting cooked. And your quarterback's on his back. So But yeah, I think we do kind of have that middle guy right now. Jersey Mike, what's up?
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike. So, taking a day to stew in it and kind of think about, you know, all the hoopla. Of course, I'm talking about Aaron Jones being gone and us having Josh Jacobs, Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Mm-hmm. You do that too, huh?
I called that my fantasy team one year because it's just such a great name. And I can't wait to pick up Josh Jacobs and do that again this year. But on a realistic note, it sucks to see Jonesy go. It really does. The reason I was thinking we were going to get Saquon because I thought that Saquon would sign for less money than anybody else when it came to their player. Well, I was wrong about what Duke was going to do because we just went out there and spent a crap ton of money on a running back. So that's interesting. That's dope. And then to turn around and we get our wish, we get Xavier McKinney. That's awesome. My Giants fan friend is sleeping, probably. I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. I'm waiting for him to come out of the woodwork and speak to me so I can rub that in his face. But, yeah, it looks like we're in for a very interesting offseason. Devondre Campbell leaving, that makes me happy. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about everything else. I'm at a loss. Because it looks like our team definitely got better, like a lot better. I'm sorry. I love Jones. I've always loved Jones. I thought he was the truth. I even said finally last year I came around to the idea that Jones is that guy. And he's the reason everything was great, and it wasn't Aaron Rodgers towards the end there. But he was injured all last year. And yeah, when he comes back, he makes a huge impact in the playoffs. I mean, without him, I don't know that we win that Cowboys game. Because we just put the Cowboys on ice because of Jonesy, in the beginning there. So yeah, we got a lot we owe this guy. He's definitely going down the Packers Hall of Fame. I love Jonesy. It's hard to see him go, but let's be real. Josh Jacobs is a monstrously good running back.
Yeah.
And now we just put him into arguably one of the best systems for running backs in the league. Jacobs is a ferocious runner. He knows how to lower his head, but man, he can bounce it outside. He's got all of the talent. He really does. He's a fantasy wild card every single year, and there's a reason for it. And that's talking about being on a sus Raiders team,
yeah,
where he's a focal point. We're gonna have to go out and find a running back, and I'm gonna call back about that in a second. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, and that's another good point too. I mean, I know people have put highlights up on social media as far as looking at their offensive line and just watching Josh Jacobs get engulfed behind that line. There's so many factors. One of them, like you said, being, you know, they used to have more. I know they have Devontae, and that is a big distraction as far as away from the run game. But, I mean, he's kind of just it. You know, they used to have a better offensive line. They used to have the elite tight end that was there. On top of, you know, Hunter Renfrow was kind of on a tear for a while. Like, they had a more balanced system. They had a really good attack when they had what's-his-name there, guy that ended up getting fired for the emails and whatnot. But, I mean, the offense really did. It was kind of a throwback offense, but it worked. And it was really just they smashed the ball really well. And it was kind of like what LaFleur would probably love to do, which is run the ball and use your tight ends, you know. But, I mean, he really was the focal point, and it's when they can just dial in on him and erase him, and you can't do anything else. No offense to Devontae, it's not his fault, but terrible play calling, bad quarterback play, etc. Yeah, I mean, it is a better position to be in because we do have a significantly better play caller than what they had. We have a better locker room, a better culture. It had some hiccups last year, but nowhere near what the Raiders have had the last couple of years. We've got, you know, our stable of wide receivers. We've got our tight ends. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. Like, if your game plan is to take away our running back, it's like, well, that does suck, I'll admit, but you're screwed. Like, if you're all in on taking him away, I mean, that's sad for us, but it's going to be a lot more sad for you. That's for sure. So, yeah, I'm excited about him. I agree with everything that you said there. It sucks to see Jones go. He was an incredible back, but we got another incredible back, and we're going to keep this thing rolling, hopefully for several more years with really good running back play.
Hey, Ryan, it's Ricky Mike again. So when it comes to running back, I now think there's a high chance that we just go with one of the better prospects in the second or third round here. I wouldn't be surprised if we go Jonathan Brooks early. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know.
Why are you doing it to me? I'm trying to do a show here, Jersey Mike. Oh. All right. Just kind of digs deep into my soul. I'm sorry. I just got to work it out. Oh, man. Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Brooks. And again, I feel like they're clones. They're built similarly. I think they run similarly. They're just these big guys that just shake tackles. And of course, Emmanuel Wilson, right, as our number three. That dude just did nothing but dominate. He'd get like six carries. He'd dominate and be like, all right, good job. It's like, can we see that again? Like, why you got Patrick Taylor in there? Put the what is the other guy? Every game he's got like 7.1 yards per attempt. Like, do they not get the stats on the sideline? I don't understand what's going on here. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted. I'm gonna flip out a little bit if we're doing this here live stream, and Jonathan Brooks goes, I'm gonna start convulsing. That's all I can say.
We go Bucky Irving, or if we go what's his face out of Florida State,
Benson.
His name
Trey Benson.
Anyway, he looks really good. He looks like a Leonard Fournette type, or Isaiah Wright, like whoever the heck we're.
Trey Benson feels like a Goot guy. I mean, I went through the list of guys that feel like Goot guys, but you take Trey Benson, and of course this site is just officially broken. JJ's always upset about it. I'm like, it's not that bad. You just got to refresh it, and we'll see if it works here, but. I just can't scroll anymore on this site. Like, it used to be you refresh it and then you're fine. But anyways, this is like a different version of A.J. Dillon. Like, A.J. Dillon was a freak more so to this side, which is really big but still athletic. Trey Benson is more this way, where he's like, he's still big but like stupid athletic. He's like 225. What is he? I'm blanking on it now. I want to say he's... like, I don't know, 5'11", 227, runs a 4.39. You can't tell me Gutekunst didn't watch that guy and just go, that's it. That's we're doing that for sure. Like, that just screams Brian Gutekunst to me. Now, where did my cursor go?
You go after. We don't have to rely on them being a number one back for a long time. At least 2 to 3 years, minimum. Unless Jacobs has some kind of catastrophic injury. Otherwise, this team is set. This team is perfectly set. Everything is in place. Everything's where it needs to be.
216. He wasn't 6 foot 216. I thought
for the draft. I'm a little bit more nervous now.
That's right, though. I think he was listed as more on PFF, but he probably cut a little bit so he can get that 4.39, which he did. Sorry, I'm cutting you off. But
we don't have Campbell. Are we believing that McDuffie is... is a guy next to Quay?
He might have.
And we only need one guy. Do we need two?
Well, we need somebody
at safety.
To back up.
You still need a strong safety, and I don't know.
Oladapo.
I don't know who in the draft is that guy. Oladapo. There's only one guy. Real strong safety, in my opinion, in this draft. And that's not even Javon Bullard. That's Trey Taylor out of Air Force.
Who?
And it's just. I'm in this weird spot because I kind of don't see where some certain things are lining up. And I'm wondering if you're looking at the same things that I am or if you have the same concerns. Offensive line with John Runyon going to the Giants, that's funny. I think we're going to find somebody in the draft. I think there's a number of tackles. There's a number of guards there in the draft. I think it's doable there. So what do we have to fill here? I mean, what are our realistic needs going forwards? Is RB2 a need, or is it even RB3? Are they banking on Emmanuel Wilson being the guy behind Josh Jacobs? There's just so many questions. Anyway, I got to get back to making my food before I light it on fire. Go Pack, go.
So I didn't get to Trey Taylor when I went through my list on the podcast tomorrow, but he absolutely would have qualified. What is, did he do the, did he do any combine stuff out of curiosity? Let's see if we can fully, no, he didn't. So what did he at least measure in and everything? 6'2", 13 Yeah, he's a pretty sizable guy. And yeah, he did play pretty strictly strong safety. I think Oladapo might have, one of the guys did. Or maybe it was the guy out of Utah. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, solid overall grade, run defense, tackling, and then coverage on top of it to boot. Pretty solid. So yeah, definitely an option there. Okay, so as far as your question, we need safeties. We at least need one more safety that can start, and I guess we can call guys like Johnson depth. Right now, I mean, Walker and McDuffie, I mean, we don't have depth. We don't even have starters right now. So we need multiple. I think we're going to get multiple linebackers. It's a question of, you know, we'll have like five or six when training camp comes around. It's just a question of where did they come from. You know, are we going to be picking up guys off the street, undrafted free agents, drafted guys? It's going to be a mix on top of free agency still going on. But I would fully expect there's going to be five, six, seven, you know, linebackers by the time, you know, training camp, we're doing cut down stuff, comes around. I think potentially edge, because I think, I mean, it's not a massive need, but we know Preston is kind of getting to the end of things, especially, like I said, when they come to you and start asking you to do pay cuts, it's getting to the end. We got Rashawn, and we got Lucas. Aside from that, I don't know what Kingsley looks like in a 4-3 defense. Keyshawn Banks is probably not a solution. I know a lot of people are high on Brenton Cox, but we got to see, like, okay, first of all, are you even good at football? Second of all, are you good with your hand in the dirt? Same goes for Odemegwu and Aaron Mosby, who are probably just not options, right? So as far as I can tell, I'm confident we have two guys moving forward, Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary. We'll see about the rest, right? So I think that's something. Defensive interior is probably, you know, we'll see. Maybe if Carl Brooks or Colby wouldn't end up in this category, then we could have a different discussion. But until then, I feel like this is one of the more confident areas where I'm most content. Linebacker is just a complete disaster, right? I mean, again, we have two guys. We need three starters plus backups. Safety's a disaster. Corner certainly could use a little bit of help. You know, I don't know what we have in Stokes. Is he coming back healthy? Are we ready to go? Because then we got Stokes, Jair, and Keyshawn with Valentine backing up. I guess we'll let it ride. Wouldn't mind getting another corner in there. Tackle, we absolutely need at least depth, right? Interior, we need some help. Center wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to find somebody to at least compete with Josh Myers, hopefully upgrade. Tight end is not really a concern. Halfback, we could use another body or two. Wide receiver, I feel like we're pretty good with. I mean, if you get a truly elite number one guy, great, take the swing. But we don't really need another Wicks, Reed, you know, Dobbs, Watson. Where are they going to go? You know, and that's, we might even already have like a truly elite number one guy. We got to see how these guys sort themselves out. And then quarterback, I think we're good. We got our starter, we got our backup. So I don't know. That's just kind of where my mind's at this point. All right. Where are we at with the comments here? You guys are having some random comments. I don't even know what's going on here. I'd rather leave him a bowl of broccoli. Oh, yeah, because of the like. By the way, that would be really helpful and really appreciated if you could leave me a like. If you are on X or Twitter, which I'm at this point convinced these are mostly bots, right? Elon Musk is like, these things aren't working. Nobody's watching. I'm just going to create a bunch of bots to go watch these things. Nobody's actually listening. We went from like one or two people on X to hundreds. Everybody has. So there's just millions of little minions that suddenly decided I want to listen to it. I don't know what happened. But anyways, if you're real, if you're a human being on X, who just, of course, none of them leave any comments. There's maybe one or two that actually leave comments that are actually here. if you're actually there and you're real and you're not a robot, please do me a favor and either comment or like or share or subscribe or, I mean, follow me. That'd be great. On the YouTubes, please, right now, like, subscribe, the whole nine yards, do that thing. And then Nate says, I'd rather leave him a bowl of broccoli. You are hilarious. Let's see. Jersey Mike, the only guy more unhinged than myself. Nate, he is not more unhinged than you. Come on, man. Let's see. You are so quick to forget the legend himself, Cheeseballing. Cheeseballing, if you're out there, man, come back. The people need you. I know you were kind of expelled for a while because everybody was kind of upset because it was kind of just me and you arguing a lot and everybody kind of got tired of it. Just drop one. Just drop a call. We miss you, Cheeseball, and tell us Gutekunst sucks. Tell us Jordan Love's going to suck. Give me that whole thing again. Is it just me or does Jerry sound different recently? I don't know. PTSD of Cheeseballing is hitting me. Let's see. I had a Vikings fan earlier call me an immature, overdramatic baby for saying Jonesy will always be a Packer and that he will be in the Hall of Fame. They don't deserve Jonesy. The guy who's been here his whole life and is going to spend 1 year in Minnesota is still going to be a Packer and he's going to end up in our Hall of Fame. You're a baby. Okay. The Vikings deserve to eat a broken light bulb, says Nate. Quay still has me not wanting to take an early linebacker. That's fair. Jake says 3 picks at offensive line. Just got to move up for Neighbors or Odunze. Jake, if you're still here and you caught it, all in on your boy Oladapo. Nate says, check that 4-0 line. Early linebacker is risky. Look at Quay. Yeah, we don't need to go necessarily early, although second round is kind of the money round, I'm just saying. But, you know, this may be one of those things where you just take multiple swings. We got a couple of those positions. Could be safety, whatever, but, you know, you double down, triple down on it. Paul says, Gut has told us he is picking linebackers. I think he'll be loading up on offensive line as well. And then Brambo says, if you say it 3 times, he may appear. So, thank you guys for tuning in. We're at 55 minutes. Love you guys. Lad McConkey, Manifestation, says too old for this. You guys have a good rest of your day. All the fake Twitter people, thank you for pretending to be there. All the robots, I love you, robots. You guys have a good rest of your day. I'll check you out later. Bye-bye.